Welcome to the 5-Year You Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow? Hey, Five Tribe, it's Andrew, and with me always is Kat, and today's episode is called How to Save More Money, which is something that Catherine and I are huge fans of. We started our careers out talking about this stuff. We just love it, and we could probably go for 10 hours, but we will keep it to 20, 30 minutes just because we value your time. How are you doing today, Kat?
I'm doing really good. I'm really enjoying talking about money for the last few episodes. For those of you who don't know, Andrew and I actually met at a personal finance blogging conference. We both had blogs back in the day. Still have them, don't really update them too much. That talked about saving money and investing and, like, you know, how we manage our money and budget and all the different money topics. And that's actually how we met. We met and we were accountability buddies. We set goals together for, you know, growing these websites and building out our careers in the finance industry. Andrew is a CPA. I'm the author of a money book. And we started this podcast because a huge part of the money journey is a personal development journey. A podcast topic like how to save more money, it sounds like it's going to be boring. And it's like, oh, just, you know, put $100 in your savings account. But, like, we super nerd out about the psychology behind it. And a big part of 5-Year You is envisioning what you want to look like 5 years from now, how you want your life to be. And so money is a big part of this, and it's a hard topic for a lot of people. So let's make you uncomfortable, I guess, for the next.
This is why we both didn't go into marketing. Our pitches kind of suck at the end, but that's okay. And yes, in case you're wondering, dear listener, yes, people do go to a thing called a financial blogging conference, and people actually go across the country to do it. So just all things to show you that you can find your tribe, even if it's as strange as that. I think when we talk about saving more money and everything, I think there's the conceptual stuff, and then there's the kind of the tactical stuff, right?
Yeah.
So let's do the conceptual stuff first, because I think if you don't address that right away, you can have every tool in the toolbox. Like, you know, one of my favorite authors, T. Harv Eker, said, you can have every tool in the toolbox, but if you have a hole in the toolbox, every tool doesn't matter because they're just going to keep falling out and you're never going to use them.
Okay, fair enough.
His concept is the financial thermostat. And I love this visual. It is so useful. And that is that most of us are pre-programmed at this point in our lives, no matter whether you're 18 or 80, to have a certain money level of comfort. And just like a thermostat that's set to 72, if the door opens and a lot of heat comes in, a lot of money comes in, you are going to find a way to get back down to that 72. And when it gets too cold, the heat's going to click on and you're going to find ways to get that money back up to 72. And that is a really, really important thing to know, because when you know what your financial comfort zone is, newsflash, it might not actually be comfortable for you, but it's a mental construct that you have. You're going to want to be able to know that when you shift out of that comfort zone, it's going to be uncomfortable, but that doesn't make it bad. It just means that you're shifting, you're growing, which is what we're all about.
Yeah, I really love that concept. And something I always tell to our coaching clients is to really watch what they say to themselves and how they describe themselves when it comes to money. Because we will work with people who say, well, I'm a spender, like I'm a shopaholic. I just love shopping, and they beat themselves up about it. And we just want you to know that there are lots of ways to reframe things. And if it's something that you're not happy with, or maybe shopping too much is making it hard for you to save, that there are ways to work on your thought process and how you view yourself, because none of us are born knowing about money. So you can just let yourself off the hook. You are not expected to know how to save or even how to spend strategically or how to invest. All of us have to learn it at some point. And regardless of your age, it's never too late. A big part of learning how to save is learning how you operate within your own mind. So like Andrew said, the thermostat kind of kicks in. Like, some people might get a huge paycheck and it kind of they don't realize it, but subconsciously it makes them uncomfortable to see that big amount in their checking account. So they go and they kind of spend it, right? Or some people kind of get into scarcity and realize, oh no, I feel much better when I have this amount in my savings, and they kind of scrimp and save to get back. It's really hard to break out of that pattern and get used to a new paradigm where you just become someone who always has $10,000 or $20,000 or whatever more saved at any given time. You have to become the version of you who has that in order to be comfortable staying there.
Yeah, it's a really important distinction to know that when you have that zone of comfort, getting out of it's going to be a challenge. Another part of that too is how you earn income. Some people are comfortable with the paycheck kind of model, like I get paid every month or every 2 weeks. Other people really prefer, you know, like the big lump sum once a year, and they kind of have that, or every couple of years, and they live off that. But these are all things that we've grown used to or just accustomed to living because maybe our parents were that way. Maybe, you know, mom and dad were land developers and they would get these huge chunks of money. And then, you know, 3 years later, you'd be back down to like, you know, kind of scrimping, and then a new, huge new lump sum would come in and you had to live like that. Whereas other people were, you know, paycheck workers that they just got regular pay every 2 weeks and that was it. So your comfort zone is going to be dictated by a lot of things that you probably aren't even aware of. And that's okay. We're just trying to bring some light to it so you can look at it and go, this is why I'm this way. And I can change it if I don't think this is serving me anymore.
Yeah. So I think that if you came across this episode and you're someone who was like, oh yeah, that's me, I need to learn how to save more, then that's just a really good first step. And I know, like if we say it every episode about a million different topics, the first step is awareness. Why do you want to save more? How much would it take for you to feel comfortable and feel like you have saved enough? And you need to set these goals as a way to actually make it happen. Because we've talked about sort of the conceptual stuff and the psychology behind it and discovering who you are, maybe why you spend, and you notice that when you're stressed out, you know, more Amazon packages come the next day, things like that. But as far as like tactical things, knowing how much you want to save is like a really good first step. Cause I don't think a lot of people actually sit down and think like, what amount would it take for me to feel comfortable?
Yeah. I think most of us just, and we've talked about this in past money episodes, but we kind of get stuck in that more of like, I just need a little bit more money. If I have another 1,000 in my account or another 500 or 10,000, it doesn't matter what amount is, you think that's going to be something. But if you have that scarcity mindset, it's a different thing to adjust to. I like to think when it comes to all the money stuff that you can grow into anything with this. And it's really about having that vision at the end of how you think you need to feel around money. And saving is just, for everybody, it's different, right? Like it can be really hard to start putting money aside when you're kind of a live for the moment type of person. It feels very uncomfortable. So I think you just need to understand where you are, have that awareness, and then go, you know, I am okay with saving, but I want to level up. So I'm going to do this next thing. I'm going to start doing an automatic deposit, or I'm going to cut out this subscription service and put that money into something. There's a million ways you can do it. And we'll get into more of those soon.
Yeah. I'm actually, there was a Nobel Prize winning economist. I think it's Richard Thaler, Thaler. And this had to do with 401ks. And this is not the Nobel Prize winning speech, but basically summed down in a nutshell, he found that if employees are automatically enrolled in retirement plans, they were they're far more likely to save and invest for their retirement, to actually have an account. When you place the impetus of actually opening the account on your own, choosing your stocks and mutual funds on your own, deciding what percent of your paycheck to put in, when all of those responsibilities are on the employee who might not feel like they're knowledgeable enough or ready enough. Human nature, it's uncomfortable. I don't know how to do that. So employees tend to put it off. But the companies that decided to automatically enroll their employees had a much better rate of actually having retirement savings at the end of their career. And you can kind of extrapolate that into everyday thing. You have to save yourself from yourself. Everybody's got a different money saving personality. Some people absolutely love to save. They just stock it away. But sometimes you can get kind of to the point of scarcity where they literally will not spend anything on anything fun because they're kind of like scared they're going to need it one day. And then Right. Some people like fly by the seat of their pants and like decide to book a plane ticket for this weekend, and like, more power to you. I think that we both kind of fall somewhere in between where we like to have money saved and we like to feel secure. But we also don't mind going on a trip or spending or, you know, treating the kids to, you know, a meal out or whatever. So setting up little automatic transfers is pretty much the number one hack there is. Save yourself from yourself.
I like that. The booking a plane flight today just made me throw up in my mouth a little bit thinking about how costly that was and everything. But other than that, it was so very, very useful.
Who are like, yeah. Oh, I'm not going anywhere this weekend. Like,
let's go
to feel alive, you know?
Yeah. Oh man, not me, I guess. Not this lifetime.
Yeah.
I like that. I think automating everything is just, it's a huge factor because you remove the variable, which is yourself and your attitudes on things. You take that out of the equation. It's kind of a once and set it once, forget it and move on. When it comes to saving more money, there's two ways effectively you can go about it. You can make more money and put it away, or you can cut expenses out of your costs and put that money away. So I think like the earning money thing is important, but where I came from when I on my debt-free journey was that I knew I had to get better with my spending. And so in doing that, I looked at my budget. And I say that lightly because it wasn't a budget. I just looked at my monthly spending. I'm like, okay, where's the money going? And then I just asked, like, you know, what can I cut? What is like really just frivolous in this moment that is a nice to have, but, you know, I don't really use it? Like, what streaming service do I watch maybe one movie a month on and go like, well, I need it for that one movie that I could probably say goodbye to. And, you know, a streaming service is what, like 10 bucks a month. It's not a huge thing, but that's 120 bucks a year. And that was my way of doing it, was just to kind of look at it and go, anything I cut out of a monthly basis is actually a 12x savings.
Yeah, I love that, actually. I love that so much. I think that that's a great place to start. Again, building the awareness and looking at your spending. Andrew and I, you know, we have a good litmus test. We've been doing this a long time, budgeting, managing money for a long time. It didn't always start like this, but on any given day, I have a sense of what's in my bank account, what I can spend and what I can't. It's not like the exact number in my head, but if I'm out with my kids and I see a good pair of like sneakers for them that's on sale, I kind of know in my head, well, can I buy this today? Or is this more of like a next month expense? Like I kind of have that sense. So I want to encourage people that even if you think that you're bad with money, you think you're a spender, over time, you can develop these skills and learn them just like anything else. So again, I keep recapping the episode, but building awareness, understanding your own triggers, and deciding how much you have to save are good first steps. And then you got to start hacking it. Right. Yeah. In addition to automatic transfers, which as you progress in the process, you can automatically transfer things into brokerage accounts and have investments automatically happen too. There are a lot of different things that you can do to even automate investing down the road as you get more comfortable. But I kind of also like to kick it old school with a good like visual. So I have a debt payoff visual on the wall in my office. The twins can see it. You know, every month, you know, I color in a square and I kind of see the progress I made because in the moment, it seems like nothing's really happening. But if you look up at a visual over time, it kind of helps you know that like stuff is happening when you see all the little colors in a row. And so I recommend that for people who are saving. Once they know what their goal is, you can download a ton of free printables online. I know people who are saving for a down payment for a house and there's like a little printable you can do where you kind of color in the house. Each line represents like $1,000, let's say. But you got to have like ways to make it fun, because no one ever said, gee, I'm going to have so much fun saving all this money just in case there's an emergency and not spending it on chocolate chip cookies and a trip to Paris. Like, gee, this sounds so much fun. So you have to sort of find little ways to keep it interesting, to encourage you to kind of keep going and motivate you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And again, that's comes down to knowing yourself, but understanding that the reason that you're saving more money is for a purpose, not just for the sake of doing it, whether it's a down payment, a trip, chocolate chip cookies, which I'm going to go get some after this podcast. I think there's just knowing that part of it is really, really important, because you're going to quit if you don't have that in front of you. And debt payoff sheets are great. Savings tools and coloring stuff in is good. I always use the visual when I was in debt and paying off debt of like, I was just like kind of shoveling dirt into the hole, and it needed so many shovels before I could get that hole covered up. Everybody's got their own way of looking at it, but that's the whole point, is to find something that makes sense to you, that you're like, oh, I like this idea, and it's that. So I think that's a really important way to go about it.
Yeah. I mean, people do those like paper link chains when they're counting down for a trip or to the last day of school or something like that. You can, you know, add a link to a paper chain every time you save $100, you know, and it's just a good visual reminder of what you're doing and remembering why you're doing it. I thought about this episode because just the other day I was telling Andrew, you know, I think I'm going to pause on this particular goal because I want to have more money in my savings account, in my immediate, easily accessible savings account, because we are entrepreneurs and we have variable incomes with our business. Some months are very lucrative and some are not. And it really just depends on how many clients we have, and it varies. And so some months I have a lot of room and some I don't. And I was just telling Andrew, you know, I think I will feel better if I have a little bit more money in savings. And so if I want to do that and stay motivated, I can print out something and stick it to my pin board next to a debt payoff chart on my wall. But then now Andrew knows it's my goal. And I think that's another thing, is the accountability, which is hard for people with money stuff.
Yeah, it's because it's hard to go to somebody and say, look, I'm paying off debt, because a lot of people might go, why would you do that? Or, you know, they tend to personalize it with their own colors. So finding that group or that person that you can talk to about this stuff like you do with me, and be able to say like, look, this is why I'm doing this. And knowing that that person is going to support you, but they also might help you see things from different angles. And we had a long talk about it, like, okay, well, if you do it this one way, it's this, but if you do it the other way, it's this. So what feels better? And ultimately, dear listener, money always comes down to a feeling. Everything in life comes down to these feelings. So with Kat, you know, this one feels so much better than all the other options, I'm going to do that. And that's kind of how you have to approach it. We could tell you that, you know, this is the right way to save money based on a calculator and everything else, but it's been our experience that that's rarely the case. It's always, it's an emotional journey with, and it's very mental. And if you are just coming at it from a rational standpoint of what the calculator says, it doesn't help you usually, because you're going to be fighting yourself right from the onset going like, yeah, but this is, I feel like I should be doing this other thing instead. It's just a good thing to have, is to have that accountability partner.
I agree. Can you think of any other tips that would help people to save money? I think there are, you know, we're obviously mentioning the things that people already know. People know like they should probably cut out some subscriptions, or maybe like take a little break from Amazon. I took a 1 month break from thrifting, which doesn't even cost that much money, but I noticed I was kind of going a lot and buying a lot of stuff, but not listing it on eBay for my little side hustle money. And so I took a little pause from it. So sometimes just like a 1 month challenge that you can do, or even post on social media or get friends involved, can also keep you motivated to save.
Yeah. So I think those are all really good things. What I would say is like the biggest tactic, and it's a little granular, but it needs to be, is to write out everything you spend in a month. So you've got your rent, you've got, you know, your utilities, internet, phone, groceries, dining out, random spending, which is usually where all the good things hide.
The miscellaneous category is large. The miscellaneous category is, it's a chunker on my budget.
What I would suggest with this, like, and this was my approach when I was paying off my house, was that, look, every dollar I save today is countless dollars in the future. And when it's paying off debt is in particular, you're actually, it's double because of the way the interest rates work and the law, rule of 72 and all that stuff. So I would look at my rent and or mortgage and go, what can I do to lower that down? Is there anything that can be done? I can email, you know, Kat emailed her landlord and got her rent taken down just like with a simple email. It saved her $600 a year, you know, from one 10-minute email with ChatGPT. It can do that. Then you look at other things like, and you just start getting that process of thinking of where you can cut in ways that make sense to you. So, you know, looking at your electric bill and going, okay, can I get a thermostat that kind of dials back to this when I'm not home, or, and is that worth it? Or what can I lower it a degree? Cause there's calculators online that'll show you, like, by lowering like your thermostat 2 degrees in the wintertime, you can save, you know, hundreds of dollars depending on where you live. So these are the little things that I'm just kind of going through what I did in my head. But dining out is a big one. Everything Huge. Is way, way convenient now. I mean, you can literally have pizza delivered at a touch of a button. So deleting those apps off your phone might be a good way to avoid that, if depending on how aggressive you want to go.
Eat at home challenge, you know.
Yeah.
Giving yourself, learn to cook. Learn to not suck at cooking. But you know what really works out with the eating at home thing? Because again, I find that if you restrict yourself too much and you're like, we are not eating out this whole month, you're just bound to fail. So
yeah.
One really good technique that works for a lot of families is eating out every Friday night, or like we have family movie night on Saturday night. So every Saturday we order pizza. And it's like a nice treat. So if you're somebody that wants to save money and cook, you got to give yourself that one day a week to look forward to. And it's like, all right, I really am tired. All I want to do is order Chinese food, but I'm going to defrost this chicken that I forgot to defrost, and I'm going to power through. And my reward is going to be that I get to order whatever on Friday or Saturday. So you just kind of give yourself that gift and something to look forward to. And developing that discipline, you'll be surprised at how much these things add up.
Yeah, they really add up a lot with that stuff. Like, and it's gotten more expensive to eat out with, you know, the way the economy
is
right now.
It's a 300% markup to eat out.
Is that what it is? Yeah. So, you know, you got to think it's a fun experience and stuff, but you know, how is that more important to you than it is to have the money in your account? And those are that's really the question you want to get used to asking. It's like, no, I'd rather have my money, or yeah, I value this enough to be, yeah, I hate cooking and I'm going to eat out more often than the average person. That's okay. Then I would just kind of go through basic things like, you know, like the subscription services. The little things that you do every day really add up. I recognized, you know, my coffee habit at work and at the time was like a $20 a day thing. And it wasn't that I was having fancy coffees. It's just that you go for coffee and, oh, I'm a little peckish, so I'll get a snack. And then, oh, I'm having my sugar crash 3 hours later, so I'll go get another coffee and another snack. And you don't think about it. And then you realize, like, wow, I'm spending $20 a day. And you think that's not huge. Mm-hmm. It's not small, but that is, you know, $100 a week and, you know, $5,000 a year that I am spending on coffee that could be in my wallet if I just got a little more creative and brought the coffee with me or did something different. So it's just kind of looking at those things and going, what do I value more? Do I value $5,000 or do I value fancy coffee during the day with snacks?
Yeah. I love that. It does come down to personal preference. Keep thinking creatively about ways to save and add to your savings. Treat it like a game. I'll save it for my glimmer. I'll tell you guys what I did this past weekend. But keep it creative. Keep it fun. I want you to know that if you're somebody who came to this episode because you want to learn how to save more money, please treat this as the motivation that it is. You absolutely can learn how to save. It doesn't matter the circumstances that you're in now or how you grew up. These are very small habits, and slightly altering how you spend your money and how you check your accounts and just taking that one breather before hitting buy all of these different things can really help you to spend less, and then you can redirect those savings into a savings account. And anytime that you feel discouraged, just think about how great you're going to feel when you've got that first $1,000 saved, $2,000 saved, onwards and upwards. And what we're really looking for in this life is that sense and feeling of security. What if something goes wrong? What if something in the house breaks? What if my car needs a big repair? The feeling of knowing that you have that set aside is worth all of the pain that kind of developing this discipline. So good luck. And if you have any questions, you can always email us at hello@5yearyou.com.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a great way to wrap up. So you teased it already. So what is your glimmer this week?
All right, guys. Every episode we share a glimmer, which is something just sparkly and happily. And this is very on topic. Just another idea of how to save some money. So I was driving in my neighborhood and I saw somebody list two things on the curb. One was a wrought iron plant stand, which I know are expensive new. And one was like a little silly, like Cozy Coop kids toy. And I was like, whatever. They were out with their trash, so I just put it in the back of my car. And then same day, listed them for cheap on Facebook Marketplace. One I sold for $25 and one I sold for $10. Both people gave me cash and I just put it in my wallet. And so I have that there. I have that little savings cushion there because there might be a night where my kids want Chick-fil-A and my brain goes to my bank account and I'm like, no, sis, you already bought $200 worth of groceries. You're not going to spend $35 at Chick-fil-A. But you see, next time they ask, I might have my little cash in there already saved up and I can do a little treat like that. So I do things like that all the time just because it's fun. And I like to give myself these little guilt-free things. So just an idea, something to open your mind and think about as you're driving around your neighborhood. People put all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. There's been some crazy, crazy stuff in that neighborhood. Like, yeah, we've seen people on Instagram sharing like Peloton bike. Am I getting that right? So somebody put
that
on their curb.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Like all kinds of stuff. And look, if you're like, oh, my neighborhood doesn't have that, try to find out the fanciest neighborhood in your town and what their trash day is and go take a look. Get yourself a little Chick-fil-A money in your purse.
My glimmer this week is just the summer. You know, it's summer as we're recording this and I am just really loving the sunshine, being outside and everything. And I think that was my glimmer like a month ago, but I am really, really enjoying it so much more this year than past years for whatever reason. I'm not quite sure why, but really, maybe it's the smoke that's been around, because when the smoke has a clear day, yeah, you just appreciate it so much more because it's not consistently just blue skies. So I've just really, really been enjoying my time outside and getting my walks in and stuff. So it's been just a really
it's
simple
so nice
thing. Yeah. And it doesn't cost anything, which ties into saving more money.
And it's good for your health. And yeah, if you're just tuning in, we split our time between Chicago and Winnipeg, Canada. So we have two cold places that we live in. So we are reveling in the sunshine and taking our daily walks. So I love that glimmer.
Yeah, thanks. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Again, if you have any questions or you just need to bounce a money idea, you can always reach us at hello@5yearyou.com. Thank you so much for listening and we'll see you next time.
Hey guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.